Praise God, hallelujah. It is it's great to be here to praise and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and give him all the glory and honor he deserves. I ask that you keep me in your prayers because I feel absolutely not prepared to say anything. And this is the first time like where I printed three sheets of notes. So hopefully get through all of it and hopefully no one falls asleep. So I've been reading a book lately. It's called A Celebration of Disciplines by Richard J. Foster. And I must admit that I've taken much inspiration for this message from that sermon. So there's many different disciplines in the book, and one of the disciplines is the discipline of submission. It's the one I've been looking at this past weekend. And I didn't think I would speak on this, but then I went to a random Bible study for the first time, and they spoke exactly on the chapter I was reading through. So that's why I decided to speak on the discipline of submission. So I'm not going to ask you guys, I don't want you guys to give me an answer, I just want you to think in your head. What is a discipline? Or what is discipline? Just think it in your head. So I always look to Google for a definition. Discipline. So the practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior using punishment to correct disobedience. And then they gave a nice little sentence of the word being used, a lack of proper parental and school discipline. Yikes. So we have our definition of discipline. I saw another definition. It was studying, an area of study. That's a discipline. So in this discipline of submission, I would like to explain to you that following this discipline, even though it seems like there might be pain or punishment, you're going to gain freedom. So you have to come with me to understand. So the first problem we have these days is that we do not understand submission. Submission is often misused or taught incorrectly. Religion is often used to put people into bondage, and a deficient teaching of submission will put people in bondage. And anyone who has taken world history or any American history knows of bondage and what comes about with the misuse of religion. But there is freedom in submission. There's freedom in submitting to Christ? Yes, there is. So you gain an ability. It's an amazing ability. And once you've had it, you know, your life is changed. It's the ability to lay down the burden of always needing to get our own way. Always wanting to get our own way brings about so many issues. One example of this. Sunday after church, I want to eat something. So I want to go eat at Burger King. But my two sisters always want to eat at Taco Bell. So who's submitting to what? Do I submit to them? So if I submit to them, we're having Taco Bell. If they submit to me, we're having Burger King. But what if we both submit? Then we're indecisive. Maybe. But that's an example. The ability to lay down the burden of always needing to get our own way. And here's a confession. I need my way. It's my way or no way. You know, I get upset sometimes. No, I need to have Burger King. And, you know, it's a confession here in front of the body that I sometimes get very angry. But one thing I've observed in the whole body of Christ, and Richard J. Foster reminds us of this in his book. He says, without this ability to give in to each other, to lay down this need to get our own way, it leads to a lot of problems in the body. And one of the main problems I see is church splits. And what I've seen is not just, you know, Malayali churches, but I've spoken to many of my friends from Malayali churches in the greater Toronto area, but also Filipino friends and white friends. And it seems like all church splits and fights come down to the fact that we are unable to give in to each other. Sure, there may be some theological issue some members might have disagreed on. Oh, we want to follow X. No, we don't want to follow X, so we're going to leave. But at the end of the day, it seems like it's always coming down to people not being able to give up getting their own way. And this is the biggest hurdle. But in submission, we are released to drop this matter and forget it. See, the biblical teaching of submission focuses on our heart and how we view people. Peter calls slaves to submit to their masters. And it may seem weird. Guys, I'm sorry. It's my first time using this clicker, so I'm going to leave you guys behind. Look, that was the church split slide. Okay, we're here at First Peter. Yeah. Peter calls slaves to submit to their masters. You might be asking, why is he telling them to submit to their masters? They already are servants. They're going to submit no matter what. But you can obey your master without submitting to him. So we see this focus on where our heart is and our heart posture. So remember, there's an importance on how we view people. We can also see this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 22. And it's where Jesus is talking about the Old Testament law of do not murder. But we see in a different take now with a focus on our heart. It says, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to the judgment. The same judgment. Do we see that? How it's not just do not murder, but it's now it's like, when you dislike someone, you're kind of murdering them in your heart. And we see it in another verse too, in Matthew 5, verse 28, the same chapter. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So we can clearly see there's a difference. Before it's like, don't do this, but now it's like, you're doing it in your heart. See, when we give in to others, we can differentiate between genuine issues and stubborn self-will. See, when we give in to others, their dreams become more important to us. We can finally love unconditionally without demanding they do anything to us in return. See, we're also freed from so much anger and bitterness. Sometimes I have so much anger and bitterness when I can't get my Whopper on Sunday. And when things don't go in your way, you become so angry and bitter. But when we submit, we break the saying. You scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. And an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And finally, we'll be able to actually love and pray for our persecutors and able to actually follow the biblical command of showing our other cheek. I come to self-denial. When you guys think of self-denial, what do you think? I don't want an answer. Just think about it. See, for a long time, I had the wrong view of self-denial. I had the wrong view of submission. I thought self-denial was self-hatred and self-contempt. You know, I took the Bible verse and it said, think others highly of yourself. Okay, then I'm nothing. I'm just like a piece of dirt. But that's the wrong way to view it. When we hear self-denial, we think about self-hatred, but specifically the rejection of our identity. But Jesus speaks of self-denial in Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Jesus calls us to give in to others, to be happy when we don't get our way. Happiness is then not dependent on getting that which we want. And self-denial does not equal a loss of identity. When Jesus was faced in front of Golgotha, he didn't lose his identity. He took up the cross. When Peter did not lose his identity when Jesus gave him the command of follow me. And Paul didn't lose his identity when he committed himself to Christ. All these people denied themselves and denied what they wanted, and gave themselves to others, yet their identity was found in the act of self-denial. Their identity was found in Christ. And self-denial also does not mean self-contempt, because self-contempt accuses us that we're worthless, yet self-denial reminds us that we are loved and called by God. We may find it hard to hear Jesus calling us to deny ourselves, but this is because we fail to realize that self-fulfillment comes by self-denial. We can see this in Mark 8, verses 35. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. The greatest example of servanthood we have is Christ's example on the cross. Let me see if I have the verse. Yeah, Philippians 2, verses 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Here we have an example of Jesus giving up what he wanted. God came down into the form of human, a human to die a cross death, but he also lived a cross life. Jesus, if we look at what he did, he shattered so many of the customs during his time. He actually took women seriously. Women weren't taken seriously during that time. He even interacted with children. Even when his disciples were so concerned with who would be first, but and no one wanted to be last, in that moment, Jesus took a towel and a basin, and he did the humbling work that no one wanted to do and washed the caked on mud. They had open sandals, so they were walking the whole day, and their feet were nasty. You see my feet? Look at their feet. Theirs are nasty. Caked on mud and dirt on his disciples' feet. And then he tells the disciples, just as he has done to them, now you should go and do to others. I've set an example. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Jesus lived a cross life. Just as Jesus lived this cross life, we are called to do the same. Paul mentions to us, I don't think I have the verse. Don't worry. Paul mentions to us in Philippians 2, verses 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. And Apostle Peter also reminds us in 1 Peter 2, verses 21, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. Thus, submission and the posture of self-denial is a posture fitting for all those who are followers of the crucified Lord. If you turn with me to Ephesians 5, verses 21, we can see a call for submission in the epistles. It's interesting, if you read this whole chapter, Paul first addresses those in the culture who are unable to make their own decisions. He addresses the women and the children, and even later he addresses the slaves. And these people are not free moral agents, meaning they cannot make their own decisions. Paul addresses these people, and Paul makes these people decision makers, calling them to be submissive because it is fitting to the Lord. Next, Paul addresses the dominant partner in the culture he is writing to, the man, the master. Another interesting thing here is that the women and children that Paul addresses to submit to your parents, submit to your husband, they don't have to learn anything because they've already been submitting. But it's funny because the man has to learn. He has to feel this thing of learning because now he has to submit to his wife. You know, a common misinterpretation is taken out of this chapter in Ephesians 5 verses 22. And it's where so many Christian marriages go wrong here in the Western world, and many end in divorce because people just think wives should only submit to husbands and husbands don't have to submit to wives. But no, okay, am I giving a marriage sermon, guys? Maybe I am. I'm sorry, guys. But in the same way, husbands have to submit to their wives. If we look at our new relation, I'll explain it to you. If we look at our new understanding of self-denial, men are also called to give in to others. If a husband loves his wife, he will live in consideration of her needs, meaning he'll put down his needs. And a father will think of the needs of his children higher than the needs of his own. So even in that aspect, he's denying himself. Thus, we can see that the husbands, the wives, and the children are all called to give in to each other. No one is exempt of the discipline of submission. So I said all these things about submission. I don't know how much you followed. Maybe you followed about my feet, the whopper. I don't know. But I'll give you some problems with submission. Can we follow? So say, for example, the government of Canada came out tomorrow, and say, we can't follow Jesus Christ anymore. What would we do? So the Bible tells us to submit to authority. What do we do? Well, in this case, it's easy because the Bible says that we should listen to God first. So that's solved. How about a different example? Let's say you have that unjust teacher, girls. There's a teacher who hates you, and she's giving you bad marks on purpose. She's not marking your tests in the right way. You know that she's marking other people's tests and boosting their marks. What do we do then? Or even this, for the older folks, an employer, you've been working for so long, and your boss or whatever who's above you hates you, so you're up for promotion. You've been working so hard, but then he just favors someone else. for whatever other reason, because he maybe has an interest in that person, he likes that person. What do we do in these situations? How are we as Christians able to stand up? And if we're called to submit to God and all these people, what are we supposed to do? It gets tricky. But at the end of the day, it comes down to trusting in the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the discerner of thoughts. He will be our teacher and he will instruct us. I'm going to give you a couple of tips on how we can submit. I'm going to end very quickly. The first way we can submit is submitting to the triune God. If we read this quote here, "As thou wilt, what thou wilt, when thou wilt." In this way, we yield ourselves to God's purposes. The next way we can submit is submitting to the scripture. The word of scripture, animated by the Holy Spirit, lives with us throughout the day. As we submit to Jesus, who is the living word, we can also submit to the written word, the written God-breathed words. And when we are able to yield to the, we should first be able to yield to the word, then we can receive it, and then we can obey it. The next thing we have to submit to is submit to our family. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. As family members, we should make time for each other. We should be able to listen to each other and also share things we're going through. Next, we should submit to our neighbors. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself, the second commandment that Jesus gave. And these are people who we come across in our day-to-day lives. Acts of submission may include, but are not limited to, you know, babysitting, lending them your tools, even shoveling their driveway when there's a lot of snow and, you know, it's like maybe they're unable to shovel. The final one I have listed here is submit to your church body. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. In the body of Christ, there are tasks that need to be accomplished. We cannot do everything, but there are opportunities to serve. When we focus on keeping a discipline, there's no, what I just said to you, I just unloaded information on you. I'm very sorry. But there's no steps to keeping this discipline. There's no law you can follow, because everything will always fall short. And if we keep focusing on keeping a discipline, we make it into a law and lose the freedom that comes with it. And this discipline I speak of is not the answer. However, it only leads to the answer. Let us look deeper and draw nearer to the heart of the Father. And I'm just going to leave you with this question today. Are we living in submission to our Lord? Just reflect upon the songs we sang, the slow songs for English. And if we hear the lyrics, it seems like we're singing to God that we submit to him. But are we really living in submission to our Lord? Living in submission to our others, our neighbors, our church body? Just as we are asking ourselves if we're living in submission to our Lord, remember how Jesus came down to this earth and died for our sins. I know I get convicted sometimes when I come out with slides and I come out with notes and stuff, and I feel like, what if I just came up here and preached the gospel every Sunday? Jesus Christ died for your sins. Jesus Christ is the Lord and risen Savior. He came to this earth and came as a form of a human and humbled himself and took the cross, denied himself. We should be willing to do the same. Thank you.